Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 4:14, and that is London Standard Time, and today is January 30th. And I'm recording a bit earlier today because I think I'll probably be asleep by the time I have to do the if I were to wait until 9 o'clock this evening, because I'm just off a flight from Los Angeles. However, what we have definitely seen today is at least the beginning of some consolidation from what we've seen as being a very powerful rally over the last while, then, but not in a dynamic fashion. And I thought that today that it would be worth looking at a number of European shares, because when you look at the stocks 50, despite the fact that we do have these short-term overbought conditions, and despite the fact that we have a continued stress and people really worrying about corporate profits, leverage, looking at the issue that there has been so much money poured into the bond markets, that yields are coming off of such very depressed levels, that this is a not an opportune time to be investing, and yet we've had this incredibly impressive rally. So, in fact, if we were to think about it in terms of the contrarian way of looking at the market, is that if people are expressing such fears, then how long are they, and how long are investors generally? So certainly there have been some people that have benefited enormously from being long since the election result in November, but there is an equal number of people who probably did not react in time and will now be considered chasers. What I thought it would be interesting to do is to very quickly click through the stocks 50, because Europe is so far behind the US and the UK and a lot of other markets in terms of its recovery, not least because it has gone through this self-imposed period of flagellation in terms of fiscal austerity, whereas nowhere else in the world has subjected itself to that same degree of discipline. And from a strictly Austrian perspective, that might have been a good idea, but the reality is that what it is a recipe for, without the outlet of currency devaluation, it is just simply a recipe for depression, for deflation. But what we have seen in the last month or two have been that year and a half to 2 year progressions of lower rally highs have been broken. Air Liquide is a very good example of that. It rallied really quite impressively at the beginning of December and has broken a medium-term progression of lower rally highs. And there are an additional number of companies that are testing previous highs. The number that are struggling at the lower side of their ranges is quite limited. So when we generally look through all of these shares, then ASML wouldn't be considered one of the leading chip makers, and yet it is at new high ground and has got one of these short-term overbought conditions that we see ample examples of on Wall Street. But then when we look at the European banking sector, the vast majority of the commentary has been about the potential for deregulation in the USA. There is very little prospect of deregulation in Europe, and yet the European banking sector has turned a corner, at least for the short term. Generally, in the insurance sector in Italy, is bouncing from the lower side of a developing almost decade-long range. And that is a similar condition that we have in a substantial number of European shares, that they have been, especially in the financial sector, that they have been in these very lengthy base formations. So what we are increasingly seeing is that in the banking sector, that we're getting an increasing number of shares that are trading above their respective trend means, that they are slowly but surely breaking these year and a half to 2 year progressions of lower rally highs. And where you then have relative strength, then, for example, Bayer had trended so consistently lower all the way from the beginning of 2015, but it has now clearly broken that progression of lower rally highs. So Then we get news today that the European economy is expanding a bit faster than it has done in the last few years, and that is generally good news. We have a situation where the euro has been comparatively weak. The ECB is doing whatever it can to flood the market with liquidity, and there is an increasing possibility that with the rise of populism, not least in the UK and the USA, that may also reflect a much wider dissatisfaction with the economic outcomes of quantitative easing and bailing out banks without writing off some of the debts, or indeed allowing currencies to devalue to what would be natural levels. And there is the potential that we could have a refusal to continue with this policy of fiscal austerity, if the French or the Dutch or even the Germans vote to displace the political status quo. And that could have quite a benign outcome for the stock market if the euro goes lower. And BMW and a number of the automakers have broken progressions of lower rally highs. BNP Paribas testing the upper side of an almost decade-long range. CRH, along with global cement companies, is testing previous peaks. And of course, the cement sector, in association with the mining sector and the steel sector, is their leverage to global growth. They're cyclical, and they're return to outperformance and very clear outperformance is an additional indication that this is an expansion that has been going on already for 7 or 8 years. And it is by coming to the market today, one is certainly not coming in early. And these returns to outperformance by previously depressed sectors is, generally speaking, an indication that we're late in the medium-term cycle, but when we look at that long-term chart, this is probably closer to the end of the beginning rather than the beginning of the end. I think that is perhaps the most accurate way to think about it overall. There was somebody sent me an article today about from The Economist, and it was really talking about some of the issues that the big global companies have begun to experience, that their pushes out into the wider globe have not been delivering the same degree of growth that they had done a decade ago, and that there are fresh challenges in terms of nearshoring and nationalization, excuse me, nationalism, and then there is protectionism. So those are challenges, and they will affect different companies to different degrees. So then we, and of course, when we came up with the idea of the autonomies, we never intended it for it to be a hard list, that there would obviously be some that would fall out, and there would be other companies that would be added in response to changing circumstances, and that the companies that have got the ability to persist over time have got long records of being able to adapt to changing environments. And that skill will be more important than ever in the coming decades because we are in an increasingly competitive environment. And that is perhaps most particularly the case in the technology sector, because and particularly then in software, because with software you have a comparatively low cost of production with comparatively high margins, and particularly in software writing, there is an increasing trend towards automation, and then that is something that is going to create even greater competition. When we then just look at the Euro Stoxx 50, having clicked through a fair number of the shares, we get an idea that it is representative of a significant number, that the Euro Stoxx 50 has broken a year and a half progression of lower rally highs. It does have the potential to to consolidate because there is a short-term overbought condition. But it is an index that is a long way from its 2000 peak. And there really aren't that many globally oriented indices that we can say that of. So there is ample potential for Europe to outperform, at least in nominal terms, in even potentially in absolute terms, because it is coming off of such a low level. But that would be on the assumption that Europe gets its act together, and probably in response to a crisis, and that it then adopts a policy which eschews this decade-long failed policy of fiscal austerity, with a little bit of an easier tone on Wall Street. Gold was a little bit firmer, and gold prices are right in the region of the 200-day moving average. They were a bit firmer on Friday, and they're again a bit firmer in here today. And if that low around 1180 holds, that would be a very benign outcome. That would suggest that we are going to get a higher reaction low, that it has held on to the majority of its advance, but that view, of course, is contingent on that $1,180 area holding, and it is a little bit too early to suggest that that is, in fact, the case just yet. Platinum was in mildly negative territory today. It is continuing to consolidate below this psychological 1,000 level. If it can sustain a move above 1,000, then we would have a much better indication that that demand is back in the driver's seat beyond the very short term. When we look at the total return on bonds, we are also at a pivotal juncture. We've had a short-term rally. It has run out of steam to a certain extent. If we then see it breaking downwards, breaking below 2060 and sustaining that move, well, then we would have not only a lower high, we've had a number of those already, we would have a lower low, we would have an historic, and then it would also be taking out the lows that we saw in 2016, in the latter half of 2015. There are still people that think that this is nothing more than something that's similar to the taper tantrum that we saw in 2013. And it's very clear that this is already a bigger move than that, that the US is raising interest rates, that the discount rate has changed. Even as early or as recently as October and even November, we had people writing reports saying that the discount rate was never going to rise. That, and that is looking to be increasingly at odds with reality, and that necessitates that there has to be a change in bond yields. And it is potentially coming from the most benign possible outcome that we do get a period of economic expansion, which a higher interest rate would then be appropriate for. When we look at the dollar index, then it is also at an area of potential support. It's still around this 100 area, and that represents the upper side of the underlying range. It has fallen for the last 5 consecutive weeks, so and we did get that upside key reversal on Thursday. So this is where we would anticipate that support would could be found. It's at a psychological area. It's at a an area of previous support back in early December, and it has offered resistance for 2 years previous to that. If this is the extent of the dollar's pullback, then that still is a rather consistent advance over the medium term for the dollar. And the only real fundamental in the currency markets is interest rate differentials, and with the US raising rates and just about nowhere else raising rates, then the potential for the dollar to continue to outperform has to remain the base case. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.